would, bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together in the Word. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Bible. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to get up and preach our opinion or some current event or something like that, or share in our ignorance together and say, well, I think. But Lord, we thank you that we know what your Word says. We have your Bible, your authoritative Word. And we praise you for that. We ask, Lord, that you'll help me to rightly divide the word of truth tonight. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. I pray that everything that happens tonight will bring praise and honor and glory to you. And Lord, I do pray that the sermon will speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to make some good decisions for you. I pray, Lord, that you'll just fill me with your Spirit, and may the message go forth in power. Today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, this I know is a brilliant crew. Can someone tell me what this is? It's a rope. We could have a hoedown and do some lassoing critters and do some practice if we wanted to, or we could string somebody up. Tim, are you game for that, buddy? I've actually never been witness to a hanging, but I'm sure you've done something. I'm sure you've done something worthy of hanging. No, I'm just kidding. But no, that's not the point. I just kind of want you to get in mind this rope here for a moment. I may have shared this with you once before, probably a different application tonight, but there was a time I was in high school, and a friend of mine and I, and as best I remember, a couple other friends, went to Summersville Lake. See, I grew up really close to Summersville Lake, probably, let's say 25 minutes or so from Summersville Lake. And my friend had a boat, and I went to the lake a fair amount with him, and learned to ski and all that. But this time in particular, we went to the lake, and we went to a big old tree on the bank of the lake, and there was a rope tied to a big branch of the tree near the lake. And the object of this endeavor was to get a hold of the rope. Now, y'all can kind of picture this, I believe. Get a hold of the rope. How many of you ever done that? Okay, get a hold of the rope, which was much thicker than this. Get a hold of the rope, get the best grip that you could, the object that is, to back up on the bank a bit, take the biggest run you can, hold on to the rope, swing out as far as you can and as high as you can, and let go of the rope. That's the object. Now, you see, I'm not real crazy about water, even though I can swim and even though I can water ski. I don't know now. It's been a while, but I used to be able to water ski at least. But the object was to let go of the rope and fall into the water and go, you know, in kaplunk and then swim to the bank. And that was supposed to be fun. So as best I remember, the other people in the party did that. You know, they got a hold of the rope. They run up on the bank. They took a big run there and had a good grip on the rope, let go, ka-splunk, and then they swam to the side of the lake again. That's pretty high up, as best I remember. So it became my turn. I don't know if I hesitated or not. I don't remember that well. But I, probably knowing me and all that, I may have hesitated a bit. And I thought I was going to psych myself up. I'm going to get a hold of that big old rope. I'm going to take a good run at it. And I was, believe it or not, I was a pretty good athlete in high school. So I got a hold of that rope, went up on the bank, took a gig run, swung way out on the lake. But guess what? I refused to let go of that rope. Now, that creates a problem because there's a tree, trunk of a tree, just waiting to clunk a thunk you really good. So I didn't let go of the rope, and I did react quick enough, as best I remember. I stuck my legs out because I didn't want to, you know, hit that and break a rib or whatever against the tree. So I did stick my feet out. And then there's also a little bit of a problem because you are between the bank and the lake and you're hanging on the rope. As best I remember, I was trying to get my footing and my friends were kind of coming around and trying to help me around. And I got back on solid ground again. You see, the object was to let go of the rope. Okay, I did not let go of the rope, and it was not a good option, all right? As best I know, that was probably my first and my last experience with a rope over a lake, okay? Now, you say, what in the world does that got to do with anything tonight? My role in the message tonight is to get you to let go of the rope. My goal in the message is to help you, encourage you to let go of the rope. All right? One verse tonight. And I really kind of think this might be shorter than usual. I know that amazes a lot of people. But this may be a little bit shorter, but this is what God gave me to preach to you tonight. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Just one verse. The next verse in the passage in Philippians chapter 4. We are going to get through this book, okay? Good Lord willing, and the Lord don't come back first. Philippians chapter 4. Now, it's kind of interesting before I read that verse in particular. It's kind of interesting. Warren Wiersbe, who is one of my heroes of the faith, he's with the Lord now, but he wrote a commentary. He was a really good preacher. I've heard him preach. I had a couple of classes to him in seminary. These modular classes, master level classes. He would come to our seminary and give those and good classes. And he's the kind of person that could preach so much and pull so much out of a passage. I mean, you could just sit there. Like someone, I think, once said, I could listen to him preach on Mary Had a Little Lamb, and I'd be spellbound. You know, I mean, that good of a preacher. He said of this, his outline for this passage, verses 6 and 7, right praying. We looked at that art, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he labeled that part, right praying. And then the next verse, which we looked at this morning, he labeled right thinking. And I'll read that again for you too. It's not going to be on the monitor, but finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Remember the message this morning about the filter? I left this out in particular to remind you to make sure that the input coming into your life is filtered through chapter 4 and verse 8. If it does not go through those different tests, those eight different filters, get it out of your life because it's going to bring you down. Okay? So right praying, verses 6 and 7, according to Warren Wiersbe's outline. Verse 8, right thinking. And the verse tonight, he labeled right living. Right living. And you're going to see why he said that in just a moment. And that will be on the monitor. Title of the message tonight, it's time to do those things. It's time to do those things. Verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Key word, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Point number one tonight, what are those things? What are those things? It starts right out, those things. Well, those things, he goes on to describe what those things are. Now, who's writing this book? Okay, where is he? He is in prison, in a house arrest in Rome, right? He really doesn't know, if you read the book carefully as we have in the past, he really doesn't know if he's going to be released or he's going to lose his life. He doesn't know. But he writes this book, very practical, very, very practical book. Not only is it an encouraging book, but it's very practical about what we should be doing. And he nails it in verse 9. He nails it in verse 9. He says, those things, what are those things? And then he goes on to explain to that. You know, he started this church, remember, Lydia. And her family got saved when there was not enough men to have a synagogue of the Jews, but they met at the river. So he went down to the river, Paul did. Paul and Silas and talked to them, and Lydia got saved, and then her family got saved. And then remember, Paul and Silas got thrown in jail, and at midnight they were singing songs and praising God, praying. And remember, the jailer got saved. And God opened up the doors, and he was about ready to kill himself. And he said, no, come on in here. And remember the question, what must I do to be saved? Then the Philippian jailer got saved, and then his family got saved. It's an individual decision. You're not saved in family groups. But individually, these folks got saved, trusted who Jesus was according to Paul's preaching, and then a church was started. I wouldn't be surprised if it was started in Lydia's house. Remember, she was kind of like a host home to the missionaries while they were there. So a church started there. Paul taught there. I'm sure other good teachers taught there. But he says those things, and then he describes what those things are, which ye have both learned. You have both learned. Now, they didn't have completed scriptures like we do. Now, they very well might have had some Old Testament scrolls, perhaps, that they looked at, but they had the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Now, it would be in line with this because Paul wrote most of our New Testament. So he says, the things which ye have both learned. You know, we have learned, I want to apply it to us today, we have learned quite a bit from this Bible, haven't we? If you come to church, I'm serious. If you come to church on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you'll learn quite a bit of this book. Now, if you add to that your time in God's Word, and hopefully you're reading through the Bible, you took one of those guides back there and said, now I want to read through the Bible. This is the most important book, so surely I want to try to read through the Bible in a year. And there'll be setbacks, and you'll get behind. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little bit behind right now. little bit. Preacher. Can't believe it. You're behind. Yeah, I'm a little behind, but I'm not way behind. I'm just a little behind. But I'll get caught up, good Lord willing. But we have learned a lot. Now, they learned from Paul's teaching. You learned from the preaching and teaching of God's Word. You learned from the Bible yourself. We probably every family has about six of these lying around somewhere in the house, probably, right? But we have learned so much. So what are those things? The things which ye have learned. If you've been in church any length of time, you should have learned a fair amount. And you know one thing that impresses me about y'all? It's cold out there. Snow flying a little bit out there, right? It's not balmy. And poor old Bill and Larry, they got locked out of the church here a little bit ago. Out there in the cold, can you believe? But you're here. You know what that shows? That shows that you want to learn more about the Bible. What really concerns me, and God's really placed that on my heart, it really, really concerns me when I look at people that say, I'm a Christian, but there's no hunger for the Word. Zero, zilch, a big nada, a nothing. I mean, they don't care if they're in the book or not. Now, that's scary because I believe if we truly know the Lord, we want to learn more and more about the book, more and more about our God, more and more about our Savior Jesus, and be more and more like Him. But what are those things that are mentioned? Those things, it says, which ye have both learned. We've learned too. If we've been listening, if we've been paying attention, if we've been faithful. And then it goes on, not only what you've learned, but and received. You see, the people in the Philippian church not only learned the teachings of Paul about Christ and all that, but they received them. You know, the Bible and serving the Lord is more than gathering just a bunch of facts. I mean, those facts are kind of fun, and sometimes we have fun with it. We call it Bible trivia, and we ask questions. How long was the ark? How wide was the ark? How many years did it take Noah to build? You know, things like that. But the Bible is much more than just a bunch of facts. That's what really makes it different. I mean, if you just want facts, pull out an encyclopedia and start reading, or a dictionary and start reading. But this book, it says, is alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So it's not only learning the facts, but it's receiving the facts. Receiving the facts. You know, there's a difference between just learning about the Bible and receiving the Bible in your heart. You know, every one of us, when we come to, I know there's sometimes our minds somewhere else and we're preoccupied and we've had a rough day. I get it. I haven't always been behind the pulpit. I've been in the pew a big part of my life. But you know, the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God preached or taught, it ought to have an effect upon us. And we ought to, like with open hands, you know, I don't understand these people that go to Bible believing and preaching churches. And I've been told this before of my preacher, I just don't receive anything out of your sermons. Well, you know what you're really saying, and I'm not being mean to anybody, but if I'm preaching the Word of God and you're not getting anything out of it, I think it's more your problem than it is mine. But we need to come with an attitude. I want to receive the Word of God, like kind of hands open. I'm afraid that too many times we come to the Word of God like this. I dare you to try to convince me of anything out of that book. We really ought to come, Lord, I'm a pilgrim. On my way home, I'm winging my way back home, but I need some help. I need some encouragement. I need some strength. And I guarantee you, if we come with our hands and our arms open like this, God will speak to our hearts. God will use the Word of God to encourage our hearts. So what are those things mentioned in this verse? The things that we've learned. And if you've been in church any time, we've learned a lot. And received, so you didn't just say, okay, well, there's 14,000 facts on the Bible. No, you've received it. You've received the teachings of the Bible and applied them to your heart and life. But it even says more. It says, which ye have both learned and received and heard. And heard. Again, this is probably a more specific reference to the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Now, we live in a day and age, and I know this sounds self-serving to a degree. It's not intended that way, but we live in a day and age that wants to downplay the preaching of God's Word. And so many churches, they emphasize the entertainment mode, and they feel that if they don't entertain people in their church, that people won't come. Well, my job is not to entertain. My job is to preach the Word of God. And seriously, I guarantee you that if you looked at good, solid, biblical preaching, teaching and preaching churches, and those that have gone far to the left, there's a big difference in the amount of time they spend preaching the Word of God. And the emphasis should be really the Word of God. There's nothing wrong. I mean, it's part of worship is singing our songs. Part of worship is the specials that we have. Part of worship is the fellowship that we have. Part of worship, you know, on and on, singing the songs all together. That's all good. But what's really going to change us, for the most part, is the Word of God. Right? So he says, those things which ye have both learned and received, it didn't fall upon a hard heart. You received it and you heard what I was saying. And wouldn't you like to have been under the teachings of Paul? Now, I really think that Paul was not that impressive of a human being. But, you know, when he started to preach, I think it changed. You know, he was an apostle. And what I'm saying by that, I don't think you say, wow. Because remember he said, I've determined not to know anything save Christ and the cross. You know, basically, that's what I'm glorying in, the cross. So I just don't think that, you know, you'd look at Paul and say, now, wow. I mean, this guy went through a lot. He probably looked a little bit old and a little bit haggard, perhaps, because of all he'd gone through for the cause of Christ. But let me tell you, when it come to hearing him preach about Christ, that would be something, don't you figure? And here's another part of those things. It's not only the things that you've learned, and we've learned a lot from the Bible's teaching, received. Hopefully we've received it and not just let it fall upon deaf ears. But the things that we've heard from the teaching and preaching that we've received, I'm thankful for the preaching and teaching that I've received through the years. Now, I've been under some good preachers, let me tell you. And even though my church back home was a country church and a small church, I had good preachers. I had good pastors. I mean, they knew the difference between the Bible and their opinions. And they preached the Word of God, and they taught me right. I didn't have to unlearn a bunch of stuff because they were solid on the Word of God. And when I went to seminary or went to different phases of my life, I didn't have to unlearn what I was taught as a kid. I was part of a good church, a good, solid church. And I'm thankful for that. It's not only things we've learned, it's the things we've received. It's the things we've heard being preached and taught. And then it says, and seen in me, and seen in me. Do you think Paul was a good example to the Philippian believers, that new church? Do you think they could look at him? I think so. Haven't we seen good examples too? I'm sure that if we went around the room and say, now who in your life has been a good example of what a Christian should be? Now, none of us are perfect. Absolutely, right? None of us are perfect. But I imagine we can think of some people that were very good examples. So, would you agree that this description fits the Philippians, but it also fits you and I today, right? We have learned a lot if we've been in church for a while and read the Bible ourselves. Hopefully we've received a lot. We've soaked it in and our hearts have been changed and our hearts are soft to what God tells us. We've heard the preaching and the teaching of God's word, and even in the songs that we sing, solid biblical songs, not fluff. And seen in me. Haven't we seen good examples? I'm sure you can think back to preachers that you've had in the past and maybe Sunday school teachers you've had in the past. And I look back, I remember my kindergarten teacher back home. And I got to go back home when my brother passed, back to my home church, because they had a meal for our family and had pictures all over this board of people that have gone on before us and have passed away. And I remember my kindergarten. I didn't want to leave her class. You know, we're in kindergarten. You're pretty young, but I remember that. That was traumatic. No, I'm not leaving her class. No way. Vertie Parks. She's a sweetheart. I may tell you. I mean, she had such a sweet spirit. So I've seen good examples, and I've had good preachers, haven't you? So what are those things? It's the things you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me. Point number two. It's time to do those things. It's time to do those things. Notice what it says. If you read over this fast, you might even miss it. But it says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Amen. How much good does it really do? Pardon the play on words there. What real good does it do if we soak all this stuff in, we receive it, and we've had good preachers, and we've had good teachers, but we don't do what we've been taught? It says do. Now, that's a small word, wouldn't you say? Two letters, in English at least. Two letters. But it really is a big deal. It's a big deal. I want you to turn, if you would, or also be up on the monitors, James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. James chapter 1, I'm going to try my best to turn there too. James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, or abundance of naughtiness and wickedness. And it says, and receive with meekness what? The engrafted word, talking about the word of God, which is able to save your souls. Aren't you thankful for that? Paul, writing to Timothy, says, you know, those scriptures that were able to show you salvation, how to be saved, right? Without the Bible, we wouldn't know how to be saved. And then verse 22 goes right along with our thought. It's time to do those things. What is it? But be ye doers of the word. Doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, again, that's the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, here it is again, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Using this morning as an illustration, when we talked about the filters for the things in our life, I'm convinced that a lot of people got to thinking about the input they get in their life, you know, about the things they hear and the things they see and if they're good or they're bad. Now, some people truly took the message to heart and said, you know what, I'm going to examine the input I have in my life to my mind, and I'm going to eliminate. God's already told me I need to eliminate this and I need to eliminate this. And I, Some people say, well, boy, wasn't that a good sermon? And they'd say, you know what? I think the preacher probably has a pretty good point with that. And as a matter of fact, they might say, I feel God probably wants me to get some of that stuff out of my life. You know, I might do that. And then they go home and completely forget about doing what. That's a forgetful hearer. It had an impact, right? He beholds his natural face in a glass. God shows that person who he is. He beholds himself go his way and forgets what manner of man he was, that he needs to make changes. You see, this word do, it's time to do those things. That word do, small word, big deal. Big deal to do what we've been taught to do. Now, if there's any group in the church that I would say that's most likely doing it, so don't feel personal about this, but I believe every one of us could do a better job. And I believe that each one of us could be holding on to something. You know, like, I'll do most of what God wants me to do, but that one, James chapter 4, verse 17, another verse related to this do. James 4, 17. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, most people that come to our church for any length of time should know from the Word of God, even if they're not reading themselves, but if they read themselves, it's just more and more that they should know. I know to do good. I know what I should be doing. But if I choose not to do it, it's sin. Disobedience to God. Now we're really good in our churches because it doesn't step on our toes as much. Talking about sins of commission, which means the things we do that we shouldn't be doing. And we should preach that, and we should talk about that, right? We shouldn't lie, we shouldn't steal, we shouldn't gossip, we shouldn't, you know, on and on. But you know, this verse is used quite a bit to say, you know, the things that we should be doing that we're not, that's still sin. You know, we should be reading the Bible, should be praying, we should be, again, do is a small word, but it's a big deal. Just going to spend a little bit of time in looking at one guy who did what he knew to do was right. Did what he'd been taught or told by God. It's Noah. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Remember, God told him what? Build an ark, gave him real specific instructions. Hadn't even rained before. But God brought a massive flood to this earth. Can you imagine? It says the Bible, it talks about it, 120 years building that ark. That's a long time. He didn't convince one single soul that it was going to rain. But he was continuing to do what God told him to do. Chapter 6, verse 22. God gives him the fashion, the length, the width, all the things about the window and the door. It says in chapter 6, verse 22, thus did Noah. Did you notice that word did? Past tense of do. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Boy, what a cool verse. I mean, we say, oh yeah, sure, I'd have done the same thing. Are you sure? If you've been to see the ark there in Kentucky, it was a big undertaking. But he did what God told him to do. Another verse, chapter 7 and verse 5. About ready to go to the next point here, but chapter 7 and verse 5 talks about the clean animals, sevens, and the unclean animals, two by two. And he says in verse 4, which you will not see, but for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, Every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Verse 5, and Noah did according. There that is again, did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Don't you think that's a good example of doing what God told him to do? Again, we don't hear the direct voice of God, but we really do through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit speaking to us, through the preaching and teaching of God's Word, by godly examples that we see. Again, we looked at point number one, what are those things? Point number two, it's time to do those things. Those things. Point number three, the reward of doing those things. The reward of doing those things. Look, it says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do we really have any excuse to not do what God wants us to do? I don't really think we have a good excuse. But it says all those things. Do, and then here's the reward of it. The God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. And you say, wait a minute, preacher. Isn't peace a fruit of the Spirit? Doesn't God, when we are saved, give us peace? You know, the answer to that would be yes, absolutely. But I've also heard it said that the most miserable people on this earth are people who are saved, who know to do right, but aren't doing it. You know, whether it be right in the form of not committing things that you shouldn't commit, or doing things that God has told us to do. So ultimately, I'll say yes, when you're truly born again, God does give you an inner peace, absolutely. You know where you're going and all that. But I really believe that if we choose not to do what God wants us to do, as clearly spelled out in God's Word and taught and preached, and as I read my Bible today, as I've seen good examples, if I still don't do it, there's not going to be ultimate peace in my heart and life. There's not going to be ultimate peace. That's the reason I really believe that there's a lot of Christians, if you talk to them or if you look at their life, they're not. What the term we'd use in English would be, they're not happy. You know, they're going around, they're complaining about everything. Nothing ever suits them. They're just kind of miserable and they're kind of just muddling through life. Now, I know there's other reasons to be discouraged other than that, but I really think it's a lack of the ultimate peace that God can give you. I mean, imagine when we're not children of God and we do our own thing, we're not the children of God. Now, God might bring something into our hearts and lives, of course, to try to draw us to salvation, but we're not his children. But once we become a child of God and we kneel at that altar and say, God, forgive me of my sins, come into my life, be my Savior. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin and resurrected back to life. Jesus is my Savior. The instant that happens, I become a child of God. And now I answer to my Heavenly Father. Remember, we've talked about every part of us goes to belong to the Lord. So when I say, I tell you what, if I told my dad, I probably wouldn't be here. I'm telling you. I mean, how many of you had that kind of dad? I'm thankful for that kind of dad that I knew that I better do. And our Heavenly Father, why do we not show him that same respect? We hear his word, we hear it preached, we see good examples, but sometimes, and this would be the case, I think, of people that may be here, or could be a case of people here, or perhaps someone listening in tonight. He said, I know Jesus. Absolutely. And you're doing most of the things you should be doing, but there's still one or two of those areas like, no. I don't have time to read the Bible. Come on. I'll just listen to the preacher. Put a bunch of cassette tapes in and listen to all the preachers. You don't do that anymore. I'm going to put CDs in. I'm going to go to YouTube, pull up a bunch of preachers and watch. I mean, fine, do that. But you still need to be in the book yourself. Study to show thyself approved unto God, or a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's individual. We need to spend time in. Does that make sense? But the real reward of being faithful and doing what you know to do is right is true ultimate peace. You find someone who has the glow of Jesus on their face. You say, preacher, now you're talking about weird stuff. No, I'm talking about you're around them for just a few minutes, and you say, now here's somebody that knows Jesus. Have you been around people like that? I mean, it's like the joy just kind of overflows, and that peace overflows. I guarantee you, they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's. Maybe not in a perfect way, because we're all human, but they're trying to serve Jesus. So yes, I would say that we all have peace once we know Jesus to a degree. But to have ultimate peace, we need to do what God wants us to do. My encouragement tonight. Remember what I said I wanted to encourage you to do? In this message, it's time to do those things. What are those things? The things we have learned. The things that we have received. The things that we've heard, and the things that we have seen in good examples around us. Those are the things. And those things are the things we're supposed to do. Do. Small word that is, big deal. And we looked at scriptures that talk about doing. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And then the reward of doing those things, I believe if we really give God our best, and we really try to do the things that God wants us to do. Don't leave those certain areas out and say, well, I know God wants me to do this, 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 and this, but I'll do this and this. Forget that. If you truly sell out to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do, that's when we'd experience this. Talks about the God of peace shall be with you. I mean, you'll just have that. Okay, God, I'm doing the best I can, man. I'm going to fail you, Lord, but I'm going to do the best I can. I'd encourage you. I started with the rope. Not a good idea when you swing out from a tree into a lake. It's not a good idea to hold on to that rope. It's dangerous. Aren't you just glad I'm still here? But let me tell you, it's not a good idea to not do what God tells you to do. And again, it's kind of hard. I know we got a small crowd out tonight, and you know, well, he's talking about me, and he thinks I'm an old rotten sinner, and I'm just doing all these mean things. No, I'm not really. I'm just saying I know my heart and life, and it always seems like there's something I can need to do more. And I'm just trying to get you encouraged to say, let go of the rope. And do what God wants you to do. You might go kaplunk into the water and you'll feel like a hero. And you'll swim. I'm doing what God wants me to do. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you. I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way. But as we've talked about this, just this encouragement to do what we've been taught, what we've learned, what we've received, what we've heard, what we've seen in good examples, just to do that. Is God flashing before you right now as someone who's trusted Jesus as their Savior? Is God, through His Holy Spirit, saying, you know what? You do this, 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 and this, but this you've never done. Or this, you need some improvement. If God is doing that to you right now, could I encourage you to let go of the rope? Let go of the rope and plunge into what God wants you to do completely. Completely immerse yourself in what God wants you to do, put another way. So if that one thing God has shown to you right now, would you just ask God to help you to do that one area that He may be bringing before you right now that you struggled with? And I believe we have struggles as long as we're in this world. I don't want to sound like, okay, this guy behind this podium is a perfect guy, because I'm not. But would you be willing to do that one thing God may be bringing before you? Maybe it's been a weak area in your life. To do what you know to do is right. To do what God has told you to do in his book. Would you just take a moment and say, Lord, help me to do that for you. That's the way to complete peace with God. Not only to be saved, but also to be surrendered to do whatever he wants you to do. And I would like to add at least one more thing to that. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, sometimes God calls us to do certain specific things. He calls us to do, and that's like your calling in life, what God has called you to do. Perhaps God has spoken to your heart about starting a ministry here at Oakmount, or maybe to be a helper in a certain ministry. And you've like, no, I'm holding on this rope. I'm afraid. I'm not going to let go of this rope. Let go of the rope and just do what God has called you to do. If that's your situation tonight, would you ask God to help you? And would you surrender to do, if he's called you to do something like that, to help with the ministry or be part of a ministry? Would you just surrender that to him now and say, Lord, I will do it with your help. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this one verse in Scripture that encourages us to do the things that we've been taught and we've learned. I've heard it said, and I've mentioned quite often here, that we're educated well above our obedience. We know many times what we should be doing, but we're just not willing to do it. Lord, may we be willing to do it. May this be just like a little push from your word tonight to help us let go of that rope and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Speak to our hearts tonight. If anyone has a need tonight, want to come to the altar for any reason, pray for a loved one or to talk to God about any area in their life, Lord, may everyone know that the altar is open. And Lord, if there's any listening in by Facebook tonight, I pray, Lord, that they too may surrender, let go of the rope to do whatever you want them to do. And should there be any that are lost, never trusted Jesus as their Savior, listening in, Lord, I pray that tonight they may realize their need of a Savior. And Lord, from their heart, call out to you in prayer and ask you to forgive them of their sins. Lord, and I pray that from their heart they may tell you that they truly believe that Jesus was your Son who died upon the cross to pay for their sins and resurrected back to life. And I pray, Lord, that from their heart, truly mean it, with every ounce of their being, Lord, they may claim or confess Jesus as their Savior tonight. And Lord, if they do that very thing, wherever they might be, and they mean it from their heart, Lord, they can have a brand new purpose in life. And Lord, they become a new creation in Christ because of trusting Lord Jesus as their Savior. I pray that they'll do that very thing tonight. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.